Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Good day to you. My name is Sean W. Keaveney, and this is another edition of Sean Keaveney's Creative Cul-de-Sac. I don't know what edition it is, because just to fill you in, can you fill me in? Can you fill me in? We are recording. What I'm doing is I'm stacking these up at the moment. I don't like to tell you exactly what time of year it is, because this will date this episode a little. But by the time you listen to this, probably Sean Keaveney's Creative Cul-de-Sac will be top five across the world podcasts, you know, nestling up to Joe Rogan's Nutsack. I've never listened to it. I don't know what he sounds like. Not as good as this. But the point is, whilst I'm recording it, it's all hubris, because me and my mate Clive and Ben, of course, are doing this in the hope that it becomes a huge success. So we're stacking them up. You know, eventually we'll be doing one on Tuesday, it'll be out on Friday, it'll be at the top of the bestsellers list on Saturday. But for now, you know, we're doing it in the hope of getting to that point. So it's a long-winded way of me saying that this is a fuel crisis special, which dates this particular episode, if you're interested, fact fans, to the 6th of October 21. And the reason I mentioned the fuel crisis is that it's kind of, it'll seem quite quaint probably by the time you listen to this. You're like, oh, remember the fuel crisis when you lived in London, you couldn't get fucking fuel for love nor money and people were fighting in the street for it. Yeah, that's really happening. I haven't seen fuel in a petrol station for 8 days now. Luckily, we've got a hybrid car, which means that I can get 18 miles on a 7-hour charge. Jesus. So there you go, it's a fuel crisis special, and that probably informs my slightly grumpy mood. Fuel crisis, by the way, I must caveat what I'm saying, that I repeat, is not anything to do with the Conservative leadership, the ERG, pseudo-racist foreign policy, greed, avarice, a country's supremely distorted sense of importance and power, not anything to do with governmental mismanagement, cronies and gaslighting, deliberate lying and incompetence. It is the fault of that guy who was photographed filling 3 jerry cans of diesel 2 weeks ago. It's his fault. He's to blame. It's nothing to do with any of the people I've just mentioned. So on today's episode of the Fuel Crisis Special, dun 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 dun, Sean Keaveney's Creative Cul-de-Sac, I am going to bring you another sort of pseudo, I've said pseudo twice in 90 seconds. I've got a mini featurette going on at the moment, which is filth in 50s rock and roll songs and blues songs of the 40s and 50s, sort of unpacking the codified sexual language of some of those songs. So as you hear, I can hear, get the guitar, I've got my trusty Yamaha with built-in reverb, thank you Johnny Marr, to play that. I've got a very couple of short bits, a great podcast idea, a tiny rant about roller coasters. If I get round to it, I just found my 2009 diary, and I was just going to read through a few entries of that. Not that I've written any sort of Michael Palin style entries. It's just interesting to see how busy I was that year, and how often I could afford to go to the personal trainer 12 years ago. Not that that feels like a defeat at all, that I can't now. And very excitingly, I found the Book of Genesis. If anybody's listening who's a fan of the radio shows, they will know that at the start of my afternoon show in 2019, I started a Book of Genesis in which I wrote all the ideas that you, the listener, brought to me. You know, the ideas for the show. So I'm going to do a little reading out of that. This intro's taken nearly a third of the time that was supposed to be allocated for this whole piece. So I better crack on. So what first? Let's have a look at my little bits and bobs here. This is iPhone shit. And what I've written here in my iPhone notes most recently. This is my mini roller coaster rant. It's very short. It'll only take about 10 seconds. And it is titled Fuck Off Roller Coasters. Thank you. Still not worked out how to turn that off. I've written here, I am not a thrill seeker. I don't need to be taken to the edge of death to feel alive. And this, I think, is a rant also about things like bungee jumping, you know, that kind of thing. Skydiving, that kind of thing. I have to live every conscious moment in the knowledge that I am close to death. I repeat, fuck off roller coasters. So that's like a sort of mini poem, isn't it? Entitled, I mean, if Caroline Duffy had done that, well, I should be getting all kinds of being etched into a fucking piece of stone in St. Paul's Cathedral, wouldn't it, if she'd done it? Fuck Off Roller Coasters by Sean Keaveney, that was. So I thought that was good. I've also written another very simple idea down, which is not an idea, it's just a fact. I am now at the age where I think a decent use of my time is to register products that I've just bought. You know, when you buy a new dishwasher or you buy a new laptop, and it's like, register your dishwasher / laptop and you can get a 12-month warranty. Never used to fucking bother doing that, didn't have the time. But ironically, now I have technically less time because I'm older, I'm close to death. I'm spending more time registering products because, I don't know, deep-seated fear of things going wrong. Not that anything else is going wrong in my life or in the world, of course. It's all pretty peachy out there, isn't it? And I'm getting through quite a lot in a short space of time here. This is a very new, this is my latest entry in my iPhone notes. But I like this one. This is a great new idea for a podcast, right? It's basically a roast-style chat between two people, right? Oh, nothing new about that. No, I suppose there isn't. But it's a good title. Discuss, right? Dis/cuss. So you're dissing somebody, you're cussing somebody. But discuss is a word, you're discussing things. It's genius. I concur. It's brilliant. So what remains in the time we've got left is a little look at the Book of Genesis. I don't know, Ben, if you can put a little bit of echo on that when I say
the Book of Genesis.
Put me on echo on it. Here it is. It's a turquoise book. I'm colourblind. This could be blue, could be purple for all I fucking know. And as I say, this is the book that I started my afternoon show with January 2019. Hubristically thinking I'd be doing it for years. No, there's no bitterness there. There is. And it was full of, like, as I sat there, if I had an idea, if Phil had an idea, if Matt had an idea, or if any of the listeners had an idea, they thought I was going to write it down. And so there's all kinds of shite in here, which is, I think, quite interesting. But am I right? I don't know. I mean, a lot of it's completely unreadable. People think, this is from the 23rd of the 1st, 2019. On that day, apparently, it was a Wednesday. One of the things that we rolled out to the listeners was, what are you not doing? Which is a classic Keaveney feeder, I think. And it says underneath, people think we're not, but we are working hard on this show. Don't laugh. Davos, I've written, the kind of geniuses we are working with are top level. Yet another expensive but necessary plane journey to Davos to get an hour's troubleshooting with these huge wigs. I think what I'm suggesting is that Phil and I were spending hundreds of thousands of pounds worth of license fee payers' money flying out to Davos to have high-level meetings with the top boffins of the world to get come up with crap ideas for my radio show. Which is quite funny, I think. Isn't it? There's a page here. I sort of remember, I think I remember saying this on air, though. Plumbers, Christ. Did the Romans invent plumbing? I applaud them all. To sit in a house and think, I'm going to run tiny pipes all over this place to make it hot water run all around it, make it warm and make hot water come out of holes. Where are you going to put these pipes? I'm going to have to take off the walls and the floors to do it. I can't be arsed, I'll buy a big jacket, says somebody. No, we will do this. They will be like veins and the boiler is the heart. Brilliant, Sean. Absolutely brilliant. Great thoughts. Dick pathetic. Oh, here he is. Fucking hell. I thought I got away with it. What am... You see, actually, today you sound like Max from Heart to Heart. What the man? Fuck you. That's better. You're sitting there like a little pussy listening, reading your book of Genesis bullshit from your old fucking show that you can't let go of. Listen, I'm just using it as material for my next project, which will be arguably bigger. You fucking think? I do think. That's pathetic. Okay, you fuck. You need money right now? Oh, here we go. No, I'm all right for money for the moment, actually. Come January, you know where you're going to go. Get your fucking one-way ticket to Southampton to the docks. You're going to suck up some sailors, motherfucker. Oh. Anyway, you know, this is interesting, I think. There's a little bit, we must be like 8 weeks into the radio show in the afternoons where I've put first break thoughts. So this must be my first holiday, you know, in February or March. So I used to have February holidays every few weeks. Your confidence has been knocked, but that's okay. It is understandable, in fact, but you need to keep the faith. Still, I feel your role is now even more defined and necessary. Retain the daftness. Go dafter. Don't be scared to find new dafts. It's quite deep, isn't it? Clips and characters and voices and ideas. Don't hold back. Push the daft forward. So, you know, I was having a bit of a crisis then. But fast forward to the 10th of April and I say this. Not had an entry for ages. Brackets Sid James. I suppose this could be a comfort. Like the stabilisers that have now been removed. The last few shows have been particularly comfortable. It feels like the evidence is fine. The audience finally accepts the change. And what's more, enjoy the difference. Am I doing anything different? I don't know. Maybe I am. If anything, I'm a bit more free. That may be my imagination. Do we even need a quiz element? Did we have a quiz element? I don't fucking remember it. Not sure we do. I do remember now, Phil and I thought that we needed like a big quiz or something. We never got around to it, as far as I can remember. Do we even need a... Yeah, I've just read that. You fuck. As I predicted, if we do, it could be purely daft. A lot of reliance on daftness here. And not involve skill. I wonder, is anything I ever done ever did? That didn't make sense. In my stronger moments, I feel like the idea of not pandering to anybody. For instance, having Howard Donald on was great. Oh, remember, we had Howard from Take That on. That was well cool. Pissed a few purists off, and that's a good thing. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Pages, leaves from the Book of Genesis, chipped in stone and handed down by Moses. Fantastic, phenomenal, very, very interesting. I'm sure you'll agree.
I don't think so, my friend. I think if you carry on like this, you'll be down the docks quicker than you can say, suck my balls.
Fuck you, Mark Maron. Now it's time for a wonderful guest to plunder their own archives, their own unrealised ideas, their notebooks full of shite on today's Sean Keaveney's Cultural Cul-de-sac.
You fucking done now?
Yes. The next esteemed guest to reverse down our creative cul-de-sac is a man who is two ideas,
what Paul Hollywood is to cake. He's an endless gush. He's like an uncapped oil well aflame in a Gulf state, fecund as the pre-industrial Amazon. His credits include everything from investing dead ringers, inventing dead ringers, to writing Stephen Fry's BAFTA dialogue, inventing a myriad of other satirical radio shows like The Skewer, helming countless prestigious radio shows and being sacked from many of them for ill behaviour, as Tim Davey might call it, all whilst having the boyish and unthreatening countenance of a young student teacher, as yet unsullied by cynicism. The man has 2 BAFTAs, for crying out loud, 9 Sony Radio Awards. In fact, he has so many awards that the shelf in his office won a Strongest Shelf Award from Wix in 2019. It is Broadcasting's John Holmes.
We feel old. I mean, you know, you look boyish. I just feel old now. I mean, you've made me feel old by doing that. I've just been working in primary schools doing we'll go straight in. An idea I had that's actually come to fruition, right, was what if 8 and 9 year old children, right, wrote and performed a 10-part comedy sketch show series for the radio. And lo, it has come to pass. So I've now been in the schools trying to record children with a load of kit I'm having to take in, doing comedy sketches. It's mad, honestly. It's like, what am I doing?
Wait a minute then. So this actually reminds me of and I know you won't mind me doing this, like dwelling on some of the times where you've been hilariously let go from jobs. But there was that time when you got that record fine for getting a kid to... sweary hangman, wasn't it? It reminds me a bit of that. So do they write the sketches as well, or do they just perform the sketches?
No, they wrote them as well. Yeah, yeah. Hence, I mean, if I'd written them, obviously they'd be unbroadcastable, as you just alluded to. But no, the kids have written them themselves. I mean, but I don't... Honestly, I've been so surprised by it. Like, because they're on it with, like government jokes. Like, there's a whole... Some kids yesterday did one where it's set in a hairdresser's where Boris is getting his hair cut and arguing about parties or not. And these kids are, like, 8, and they are totally on the ball. I'm like, well, fine. Yeah, good. They're the future of satire, Keaveney. That's what they are.
So you aren't... You are... That's it. You are nurturing the future of satire and putting us out of a job. Well, you're putting yourself out of a job. I'm not really a satirist. I don't know what the hell I am. I'm a satayist, I think. I make a decent peanut butter satay.
It's me. You're about to hear an advert. Now, if you want to listen to the podcast ad-free and my Friday radio show, all you got to do is sign up to the Patreon if you fancy, not if you don't. But if you do, the link is in the episode notes. Carry on.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, can I ask you a very prosaic question to begin with, right? Because we had Greg James on and we were talking about the wonder of radio. Everything's different. Everything's constantly moving forward. But when you have to fill 3 hours a day, what happens to the humorist's brain in that situation?
When I was at 6 doing, and that was, I just did Saturdays, right? And I remember having a conversation with the boss at the time, who Bob Shannon, his name was, right? And he was in charge of Radio 2 and 6.
Always had a cup of tea
always
like
had
that.
A cup of tea like that. And I sat down with him and I said, look, I've had an offer from XFM to go and do breakfast. What do you think? Because I was a BBC lad, you know. I was sort of like, I had worked for commercial, but, you know. And so I sort of said, well, is there anything, you know, is there anything more here, you know? Because I do Saturdays and it's fine. And I was doing the occasional sit-in on Radio 2 stuff. And I said, but is there anything concrete here, or am I just the, you know? And he said, well, look, I don't have a regular thing for you. And he said, in actual fact, you know, I know your show, right? I don't think you could do your show on a daily basis, right? Because it's so packed full of stuff. And he said, but this is an opportunity to prove the likes of me wrong. So I think you should go and do the breakfast, apart from the fact that the you know, the money's probably better, isn't it? I went, yep. So I went and did that on a daily basis. And you know, and then before I had a chance to call him up and say, see, I can do that. Can I have a job, please? He left.
Bastard.
I know. That's what always happens.
He's going to rub his face in that.
I know.
But it is, it's just such an exhausting treadmill, isn't it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's not just the radio. I mean, we can come to some of those bits, but obviously you're an author as well, and you've written books like Portrait of an Idiot as a Young Man. So I'm thinking, have you got things like that in your back pages, like failed ideas for books and stuff like that?
I've got so many failed ideas. I mean, most ideas fail. That's the yeah. starting point. They absolutely do. When you know, you said, do you want to do this? And I thought, well, I'll just have a quick look through my old notebooks and see what there is. I didn't even get past page one because there were 20 failed ideas on like the first page. I mean, so I've written, you know, I've just got a list here. I mean, you said sort of pick four or five, but I was going, well, I've got 11 and I barely touched the sun.
This is awesome. This is what I
mean.
Love.
I mean, I've got a sentence, right, that I wrote down the phrase, horse foreman of the apocalypse.
Right? Okay. Let's unpack that, shall we?
Yeah, I mean, I think we should, yeah.
So not the four horsemen, horse foreman.
No, a horse foreman who, you know, is the foreman of a factory who's got a throat issue, but the apocalypse has arrived. I don't know what that is, really. I just kind of liked it.
The wordplay is so delightful, isn't it? I was thinking something different, like it was... We're anthropomorphizing Pixar style horses.
Yeah,
and there's like the sort of boss horse is taking the horses into the apocalypse, you know, to sort of do the last fight.
Yeah,
and that's what the story's
but he's
about.
He's got COVID, so
and he's got COVID.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, it all
so
ties
that's
in.
The horse form of the... So this happens a lot, though, doesn't it? Where you think, that's a great phrase, I'll do something with that, but there it sits.
Of course not, because it is just a phrase, right? There's another. I mean, it would collapse under its own weight really fast, I think, if I tried to do that. But it's... And I woke up... So, many of us, you know, you have an idea in not quite the dead of sleep, but just on the cusp, you know, the falling off the curb moment, you know, kicks like a sleep twitch, as editors might say, right? And that moment, right, when you have an idea and you write it down, you think, I've got to write this down because I won't remember it in the morning. So I'm going to write this down now on my phone. I'll reach over, bathe my face in the glow of the screen just before I nod off, and I'm going to write down what I think is possibly the best idea anybody has ever had, let alone me, right? So I did this not long ago, okay? And I went to sleep secure in the knowledge that in the morning the creativity would flow from what I had written down and I would have an excellent day of turning this into a reality. I woke up in the morning and I picked up my phone, having completely forgotten I'd done this, of course. And I looked at my phone and it was open still on the notes page and it just said, Milky Arm.
Oh, the scales have fallen. That's the Netflix drama for 2024, isn't it? Milky Arm.
Milky Arm. Yeah, it's coming. It's coming soon. Yeah.
You've got no memory whatsoever of what that might pertain to.
But I obviously thought that would jog my memory enough to come up with the Milky Arm
listeners, this is the next part of this podcast now. You have to go away and you have to come up with the backstory for Milky Arm. It's like the Milky Bar Kid. I don't know what it is. That's like a really shite version of Paul McCartney the first time that he smokes weed, isn't it? And he thinks that he's seen the face of God and he understands the meaning of life. And he did exactly the same thing. He was in a hotel in New York and he wrote something down, fell asleep. And then when he woke up, he'd seen he'd written... There are seven levels. He was like, oh, okay. It's a bit disappointing. I thought it was going to be more than that. So that's good. So Milky Arm.
Yeah, got, Milky Arm.
That's great. And I mean, again, literally, the listeners can start to together. You see, we might be able to create. It is like a sort of Rodgers and Hammerstein, isn't it? You start. You come up with a couple of chords, then we come up with a lyric, and away we go.
Away we go, and we all get rich. I did pitch another idea that I had once, which I genuinely pitched to Radio 4, and I thought this would work really well. Not a million miles away from what the magic you're creating here, right? So I had this idea called Notepad, right? And the idea was that you would get a bunch of comedians or whatever, all of whom had notes like Milky Arm on their phones, right? But then you would literally create the sketches out of them. So you'd hear the discussion process. And then in the end, you would perform them. The sketch of Milky Arm would be written in before your very eyes or ears, and then performed on Radio 4. So it's a comedian's notes, but we turn them into sketches. So, you know, that's an idea that I'll plate spin.
That's great, though. So, I actually like that. I mean,
you could host that. We could do this. Like,
Free, as John Inman might say. So this is a question, really, I guess, for you, John, because when you look at what you've done. Look at what you've done. I bet you heard that a lot when you were a kid.
Yeah, I've heard that a lot. Yeah. Look what you've done. It's usually the word now is on the end of it.
What has he done now? But, you know, you've done a lot. I mean, and I've forgotten how. I mean, you've been a colleague of mine on and off for so many years. And people like you and bloody Christian O'Connell have always been the bane of my life, because it's like, oh, off to the Sonys again, are you? Yeah, give him my regards. Yeah, drink some champagne for me, will you? Yeah. But, you know, I mean, you've spent a considerable amount of time, it feels like to me, either pitching ideas to commissioner-type people or, you know, begging not to be sacked. That's how it feels like to me, because you've lived on the edge for so long, haven't you? We've talked about it before. But do you share that frustration that a lot of creative people have, where trying to get past the gatekeepers with your idea is very difficult?
Totally. Yeah, it is. It's the biggest... it's the biggest hurdle, and it's none of it's your fault either. I mean, your idea might be shit, that's fair. But a lot of the time, the things that happen, it is luck. It's all luck.
Yeah.
And it's people like we were just talking about with Bob Shannon. You know, people like it. People then just leave the job, and the new person sort of go, well, who are you? And that's someone else's idea. I'm not doing that. I've had things decommissioned where it was going to happen, and then they've left, and the new person's gone, no, that was their idea.
Yes.
But you've commissioned it. No, they did.
That's right.
Anymore, we haven't. And you go, what? Hang on a minute.
I have
this
to
is
make
literally my livelihood.
I have to make my mark on this station, and I'm going to it's like a power plant, isn't it? When you get an idea decommissioned, it sounds like Sizewell B or something. Indigo with the fucking screwdrivers.
Take it all apart.
Hit us again. Just keep hitting us with the stuff that the gold that's in Dendar Hills that is your notebooks. I just want to hear.
I can share with you. This is another phrase. While I was sort of looking through phrases, I've got you'll appreciate this one for on different levels, Sean. But I've got the phrase "the spy who came in from Liz Kershaw" written down.
that's got legs, hasn't it?
I mean, it's got many things, legs included. Yeah. I think what this was, I was like, why have I got that in my... And I think I used to do a quiz on Six Music called Ken Brucemaster, right?
Yeah.
Which was a piss take of Popmaster, but all of the questions were about Ken Bruce. And I used to get pop stars to play it, right? So instead of doing interviews, we'd get, you know, Meatloaf or whatever to play Ken Brucemaster.
That's a good idea.
Okay. And I remember a particularly brilliant one was Sam from Get Cape, Wear Cape, right?
Yeah.
Was on. And it was while he still had a day job in Halfords. And he was on playing this from the storeroom of Halfords because he had this album to promote, but he still worked in Halfords. He was playing this game.
That is multi-level brilliant radio, isn't it?
Because it's so funny.
I do love those things when you know, because it's funny now, isn't it? Like when we were kids, rock stars were untouchable multimillionaires who had Surrey mansions. And now, people who we consider rock stars, who we play their music all the time, probably do have to have day jobs in fucking Halfords to make ends meet.
Yeah. I don't think he has now, but back then, you know, starting off, Six Music was championing the fellow, you know, and it was great. But the quiz was, I think the answers were all to do with... we're all just radio jokes, right? So I think it was probably something to do with, you know, have you, you know, the film, I don't know, Christ, I don't know. It must have been some Bond film or something in the news. I don't know.
Yeah.
And it was sort of Ken Bruce way of doing it. But one of the ABC answers, I think, was The Spy Who Came. You know, what are the radio-based spy films? You know, la, la, la. And I think The Spy Who Came In from Liz Gershaw was one of the answers to that. I think that's what it was.
I love it. I mean, we've got to talk about things like your... About the skewer, because that's back as well. It returns in April. Radio 4. You do a lot of excellent work with Radio 4, which is great. Tell us a little bit about where it all began for you, that sort of the idea of the audio non sequitur and, you know, the repurposing of audio. You know, that sort of... Because I guess Chris Morris is our sort of forefather in a lot of these things, isn't he? But maybe it goes further back than that. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it sort of... In a way, it does. I mean, Chris was our... You know, you're right, when we were sort of, you know, tiny entertainers in the comedy womb or something, he was like, you know, we suckled at Morris and sort of hoovered him up. And I, you know, obviously everyone's got influences and, you know, it's fair to say that he was. But before that, Kenny Everett, of course, you know, and yes. I came very late to the Kenny Everett world. I came to him through television when he did the TV stuff as a kid. And only later did I find out he was doing the radio. Yeah. I didn't even know, you know. And then I sort of found out he was doing stuff with tape fiddling and everything else. And Victor Lewis Smith, I think. And in Chris Morris's early days, he was copying a lot of Victor Lewis Smith. They fell out, I think, because Chris was sort of in the same territory. So there's a hugely long tradition of this stuff, I think. But I'm just an audio geek, right? I've got a, you know, my, that's, hence radio, right? That's, I, you know, people go, well, you should be on the telly. Well, no, because A, no one wants me on the telly. And B, you know, I did that once and I didn't like it nearly as much as radio. I liked the fact that it paid more, but I didn't like the process as much as I like the creativity of radio. And I've always been a sound geek. So it's all part of that, I guess, really. And the skewer, yeah, it's just about, you know, what we sort of tend to say is it's a concept album made of news, because it just mixes the news into music and pop culture and films and TV and all the rest of it. You know, for anyone who hasn't heard it, the example being, and I often give this example because it sort of sums up what we can do, is we got Matt Hancock, then Health Secretary, taking the NHS to the repair shop. Where he, so you cut up an interview with Matt Hancock, yes, with some of the repair shop. And there he is in the repair shop with the NHS because it's broken and he can't fix it. So that, you know, it's that sort of level of playing with audio.
And does he cry at the end like everybody does?
We have that famous
audio of Matt, don't we? You know, when he sort of does that crocodile tear thing on GMTV or whatever.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's such an awful.
Yeah.
We're living through extraordinary times, aren't we?
Aren't we though?
Well, I've got a satirist like you. I should ask that. Is it? Because I remember, especially during the Trump administration, a lot of people who did your job were saying, "It's fucked. It's over. We've gone. It's unsatirable." If that, I mean, that's not a word. You know, you can't take the mick out of this stuff because it's gone so far. It does feel as though news is eating itself in ways that it is like you're watching the day to day, but you're actually watching the news.
Yeah, it's. I don't hold that view at all. I think people do have said that, and it's evidently not true because people are still doing it. In fact, it's more so now because people are doing it online. You know, you've got brilliant comedians like Alistair Beckett King and Rosie Holt, you know, doing this stuff on Twitter. You know, that is now a broadcast platform for comics.
That's true,
you know, and getting, I don't know how they're going to monetize it necessarily, but, you know, it's getting them followers and it's sort of working. They're finding their audiences. And I think what's happened is, and as we're finding, you know, in the world of podcasting, it's fracturing, but people are latching on to pay for what they want.
Yeah.
You know, Patreon and all that stuff is, you know, could it be the next big thing? Probably, yeah. I saw that article about you.
I know.
In the Times and you're, you know,
even I'm doing it. I mean,
but it's true, isn't it? But that's how it's. I think it's probably pretty accurate because the next generation, we keep being told, you know, don't listen to the radio particularly. It's all they like audio, but they're not finding it on the radio, not on linear radio. No. Anyway, it's all you know, all in the audio space, isn't it?
The audio space is what it is. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, let's go back to you and your notes and like. I mean, you're a multi-decorated bloody. Blood, you can hear the sort of ire in my voice, can't you? I'm just trying to kick it through my throat, this phrase, but you're a multi-decorated travel journalist as well. Now you've been working for the Sunday Times, doing all, you've been all over the bloody world for them. You've picked up a lot of awards for that. Is that another place where? Because I remember when I used to get out of the house, and sometimes I would go abroad, and you know, before I had kids, and I'd go with my friends, and maybe we'd go traveling for a little bit. The notebook was supremely important. Because I would always write down every silly thing that happened or every stupid idea that I had. Is that something that you do when you're on your travels?
Totally.
As well?
Yeah, my rule for travel writing is don't get bogged down in writing about it when you're there, because you need to be soaking it up, right? And so, my rule is I will fill notebooks. And they are notebooks. I don't use my phone for that particularly. It will be notebooks. And I'll, because it makes me feel a bit like Hemingway or something, some sort of poncy way. And and then I'll always leave wherever it is, whatever you're doing, but leave with the first sentence of the piece written. And if you've got that, then the rest should flow. I mean, often it doesn't. I mean, there are the things like that, you know, the things you go, oh, I'd really want to write about or experience or do that. And of course, pitching that to jaded editors is exactly the same. You know, I've got tons of ideas, you know, where you go, volcano boarding in Nicaragua, I'd like to try that, you know, and they go, well, yeah, but what? And they go, well, you got a tin tray and you go down an active volcano, don't you? It's a thing. Is it a thing? Well, no, it's not a thing, but I mean, it could be a thing. It is a thing. There are some people who take you to do it and they go, yeah, but I don't think the readers of the Sunday Times are going to want to do that, are they? So why would we send you? You go, well, you know, it's fine. But the older I get, the more reckless I've become. I don't know whether it's because I've also got kids, and whether or not you'd think it'd be the other way around, wouldn't you? Be like, don't go and jump, you know, don't go skydiving, go and crocodile hunting in Papua New Guinea, John. What are you doing that for? And you go, well, because I'll go anywhere to get away from my kids for a bit. That's why.
It's so true. God, we love them. I mean, we love them more than life itself, and we die for them. But Jesus Christ, you just want to get out of the house sometimes, don't you?
Yeah.
You'll do anything to do it. Crocodile hunting, you say? Absolutely, sign me up for it. Volcano diving.
Tell you what, the noise that crocodiles make when they get speared through the head is something.
Have you actually experienced this
thing? Yeah. Papua New Guinea, right? Because Papua New Guinea is really weird. So it's full of uncontacted tribes. It was the centre of Papua New Guinea was only discovered, if that's the right word, in like the 30s. There's no modern anything there. It's like proper go back in time stuff. And I went on a trip up a river to go and see some tribes with a guide. And it's a lawless country. I mean, they're headhunters as well. They, you know, they still live by these tribal rules, and they battle rival tribes and for land and all this kind of stuff. And yeah, we went upriver, middle of nowhere, for days, and then eventually, you know, we could have got with this tribe, and then they took me crocodile hunting in a dugout canoe made from a tree, and I'm sitting in this canoe with these guys. And they've got, you know, rudimentary spears that they've made, because that's what they used to hunt with. And they just spear it through the skull and drag it into the boat.
Wet.
So I've got a crocodile in the boat with me. It's like, and they sit on it and tie its mouth up with twine and stuff.
So
and they skin it and then eat it and sell the hide. It's mad.
This is the thing that people don't realise about you. You're essentially Bruce Parry. You know, you without, you know, sort of by accident, you know, people think you might mention your name, John Holmes. So he's the sort of guy who's a bit rude on the radio sometimes. No, he's not. He's the next Bruce Parry, ladies and gentlemen. He's going up river in Papua New Guinea and sitting astride a dead crocodile. You know, never mind. No Wi-Fi. Before we have to alight, I just want you to riffle through some more of your piffle for us, because it's
okay. I've got you're like this, right? Now I think there's something in this, okay, and it hasn't happened yet. I once worked with Andy McNab, right? You know, off of Bravo 20 SAS, right? Yeah. And I got him as a guest on something I was working on years ago, and I had an idea, called, because it's Andy McNab, called Andy McNab's Comfort Zone, right? That's what I've written. That's what I've got. And it just says here, it says, Andy McNab tries yoga, fish nibbling on his feet, and mindfulness.
Just completely reversing the polarity on the guy's public persona.
I haven't run it past him.
I bet he'd like that, wouldn't he?
I mean, if he's listening to this, Andy, call me.
Oh, because it reminds me a little bit of, you know, if you put Channel 5 on at any time, You will see, it will be something like Sandy Toksvig goes orienteering with, Andy, not Andy McNabb, but this is the kind of thing he should be doing.
Yeah.
In his dotage.
Reverse the polarity, as you say. That's exactly right. Andy McNabb tries some quite off-brand stuff.
So that would then mean that we would have to take somebody extremely, like for instance, somebody you've worked with, Miranda Hart. We could send Miranda Hart into the heart of darkness.
Yes.
You know, she could recreate that sort of Francis Ford Coppola. That sort of Marlon Brando journey into the heart
totally
of darkness.
I can totally see Miranda Heart of Darkness. Yeah. It's got legs, right? And you know that the iconic scene of Brando coming out of the water slowly.
Yeah.
I want Miranda Hart doing that with her face, that she's the comedy face.
And then like slipping on a log or something and then falling into the water. That's and right. Then there's canned laughter that fades up.
Yeah, shouting such fun as she does so. It's gold, this.
It really this is. You see, we're onto something. And so great. I mean, and this is the thing, you see. You're such a radio journeyman. Do you think that, was it fun doing that with Miranda on Radio 2? Is that because it seems like a funny, on the page, it seems an unusual match, but did it kind of work?
It was weird. That was a weird experience. And the reason it was weird was we got asked to do it. I think really what Radio 2 wanted Miranda Hart on, because she was, you know, height of sitcom powers at the time. And they knew I knew her. So they sort of knew I could. Yeah, they sort of begrudgingly went, can we get Miranda Hart ready to? Do you want to be on it? Do you want to do it as well?
Okay.
I see.
Sit in the corner, don't say much. All right, press
the
buttons.
You just do that because you do the desk and that. But it's really, you know, but it was fine. And we did evenings for a bit at first, weekday evenings, and it went really well and got really well reviewed, and because it was just us. Just sharing stupid stories, right? Yeah. And just playing good music and all that. And being just quite open and honest about life. Yeah. And it went really well. And then they said, do you want to sit in for Chris Evans on Breakfast? You know, and you go, well, the Radio 2 Breakfast show's coming calling. Yeah, you're not going to say no, are you? You're going to go, yeah, we'll do that. Let's just say that didn't go down so well, because I think it was... It's always difficult, isn't it? If you're sitting in for a presenter, I've sat in for you before, and your listeners mostly hated that. So, you know, so why are you in? You're shit. Why are you in? Where's Sean?
Very
you're
territorial,
shit.
Aren't they? Yeah.
All that stuff. So, you know, I got the Chris Evans mob, who just didn't like it. Yeah. Fair enough. But it got quite, and it really, it was sort of directed against Miranda because she's the famous one, right? So she sort of got it a bit more in the neck, I think. And it just didn't go very well at all. And then we got asked to do some Christmas specials and all that kind of stuff. And then it just sort of stopped. But it just shows you how fickle and how interesting radio is, in that what we were doing in the evening that really worked did not work at breakfast for whatever reason.
It is so weird how it depends entirely on the context. And it reminds me, I've got PTSD actually of XFM 20 years ago. And my big break that Andrew Phillips gave to me, God love Andrew Phillips, he did give me my initial break in radio. He was like, because I was doing overnights, I want you to, Zane Lowe is going to be away for 2 months in New Zealand, and I want you and Lauren Laverne to do his show for 2 months. This could be your big break, Sean. This is your big break, mate. 6 till 8 p.m. It's a really great slot. And I was like well revved up for it. And we went in and we did the first show, Lauren and I. And yep. Lauren's just great as always. I was completely overawed. I still, after 20 years in the biz, get overawed in very easily. Didn't really say much, and when I did pipe up, I basically garbled, and but it was my first ever go, you know. Came off, we went into Andrew's office, and he basically said, didn't work very well, did it, Sean? And bearing in mind he had another 2 months to do, and he was like, yeah, from now on, I think if you just let Lauren do most of the talking and you just press the buttons, it's probably the best way it should go. I was like, well, thank you for taking the doors off my confidence for the next 18 months, you bastard. I've since forgiven him, of course. I've just got another one here. Miranda Hart of Darkness, where we put her in the band The Darkness.
This is excellent. So upriver somewhere. Yeah, so she travels with the darkness.
With the darkness.
Up the Amazon. In Vietnam. That's right. Somewhere in Vietnam. Yeah, definitely that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's great. Yeah. So we'll let's bring this symposium of silliness to a close with just a final flurry from the notebooks.
Final flurry. Well, I'm gonna hit you with... just stop me when you want me to elaborate, really. I can tell you about an idea for an app I had.
Oh, yeah.
If you like.
Millions
that's one thing. I could tell you that. I could do... I've got an idea for a Battle of the Bands, which sounds normal, but it isn't. Fairy Tales of the Unexpected was another idea.
Tell me about the app, because I think there's money in this.
I'll tell you about the app. I think there is. Well, there was. I didn't jump in at the right time. In fact, because it exists now, and it didn't at the time.
See?
You see, so it all stemmed. I was in rural Spain years ago. This was right, and I was in one of those parts of a country which doesn't speak any English, which is the best part, right? And you've got to muddle through. And my Spanish not good, so I'm there, and I'm presented with a menu. Okay, I'm with sort of four friends. And I'm presented with the menu for lunch in a tiny little roadside restaurant, in the baking sun. You know, it was right in the heart of southern Spain. And I was sort of, we had a translated book, a dictionary, a foreign language dictionary thing. Well, I forgot what it was called there. A language-y book.
Couldn't find the word, a dictionary then.
And I was doing a rough translation of the menu, right? And we could kind of work out what was going on. Everyone, and you know, people were going, right, I want that, I'm going to have that. I think that's steak, I'm going to have that. And I translated something on the menu, and it said bacon of heaven in the English version of it, right? And I was like, oh my God. So it's probably some sort of gammon steak, right? But I like bacon, and I, you know, I'm probably a big fan of heaven. But imagine what bacon of heaven can be. What is this going to be? It's going to be like amazing. I'll have it. And so the waiter, when I sort of pointed at it, sort of gave me a side eye. And off he went. Fine. And then out came the food, and everyone got their steak and frites and all the rest of it. And Spanish omelettes, and I got for my main course bacon of heaven, which was creme brulee.
Okay, that's not so, that was unexpected, wasn't it?
It was unexpected. Yeah, I was not expecting the translation of Spanish creme brulee to bacon of heaven. But I, at that point, thought what there should be is something on your phone that you could hover over a menu and it will translate, or anything, and it would translate it for you in real time to save me looking it up in a book. And I thought I need to do something with that. And I didn't. But now, of course, that thing exists. And well, I'm sure has made a lot of money for someone.
Well, but I mean, but in a sense, what you're really saying there is I just need to advance the state of artificial intelligence in the world so that this is possible on my phone.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's...
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a small beer, really.
Exactly. I mean, you know, that, don't bother me with the details. just do the fucking translation on the phone app.
Yeah.
Make me, you know, pour the money into a skip in my front garden. Well, I mean, so, yeah. As I said before, it's a fecund and endless well of creativity. And like with most of our guests, I think we could just kind of have them reverse in and out of the cul-de-sac on a regular basis and tip more ideas in.
I've got so much more, Sean, if you know, at some point.
Like, this is it. We've got too much to
do. We didn't even talk about the new adventures of Jesus. And that's...
go on. That's all you need. What more do you need?
Well, my daughter, a couple of years ago, my daughter came home from school having done, RE or whatever it is they do. And she said, oh, it's the worst lesson, Dad. It's so boring. She was about five at the time. She's eight now, so three. She said, they're so boring. You know, oh, it's just the same thing. We do it every year, right? Because it's nearly Easter. It's the same story, right? Why aren't there any new adventures of Jesus? And I was like, bing.
That is great. That is so
good.
And
I genuinely went to a publisher with that idea. And they sort of went, yeah, but what is it? And I was like, well, it's a sort of children's Bible spoof, isn't it? With Jesus does modern things, you know. And it's still, I mean, I still spin it as a plate in the vague back of my mind, but I haven't done anything with it.
You have my support. And what you can, if you want, if it helps, an idea I've always carried around this time of year, at the end of another long winter in Great Britain, and the first bit of sun on our back, and the mercury creeps above 20 degrees Celsius for the first time, right? And that Easter weekend, you're in the pub beer garden, and you look around, and it's lovely weather. People have got T-shirts on for the first time, and Jesus arrives, and he turns water into Peroni. That's what he does. He turns water into Peroni at Easter time. So that could be part of the new adventures of Jesus. With John Holmes. Of course, The Skewer is back. Series 6 returns April the 6th, which seems about right. If you've not yet listened to it, there's a lot more to go at. You can listen to the other five seasons there as well, all on BBC Sounds. It's so brilliant. But I'm sure you'll be back again. Thank you so much for giving us your time, your notebooks, and riffling through the piffle with us on the cul-de-sac today. Mr. John Holmes.
Oh, Thanks, Sean. That was great. I enjoyed that very much.
Well, that was something special, wasn't it, from John Holmes, fount of almost unlimited amount of comic, twisted and brilliant comic ideas. Perfect for Sean Keaton's creative cul-de-sac. I'm sitting on a bed in my childhood bedroom. I've got three kids to and about downstairs, my own and my parents and my wife, trying to corral them. Walking about going, shh, your dad's trying to work. So, and I'm recording this on some weird iPhone app, so it sounds a bit shy. That's why. And it is quite touching, actually. It's quite evocative and nostalgic, me looking out of this bedroom window, because I remember sitting at this exact angle in 1983 on the first night that we spent here. 39 years ago. But that's getting us absolutely nowhere as far as winding up today's Sean Keaveney's creative cul-de-sac is concerned. I'm going to finish with a couple of your ideas for the ideas that you've been incubating for years but have gone absolutely nowhere. Let's just have a look at some of these that have come in. Alan Greening sends me this. What about this for an idea, Sean? You are being served. People have, so I guess a play on 70s camp comedy, Are You Being Served? People have papers issued to notify them that they are a defendant in a civil lawsuit by ex-cast members of Are You Being Served? These are done in an amusing way, incorporating catchphrases from the show and people's reactions to film, hilarity ensues. Addendum, it turns out that most of the cast have been dead for ages. Suggest Graham Norton, BBC, or Tom Allen, Dave, Channel 4, as the John Inman, and the women from Birds of a Feather as the women in characters. There was probably a character that Danny Dyer could do. This might be wildly confusing, but it's still good. I don't know if we'd get away with that, but it's... I love You Are Being Served and ex-cast members of Are You Being Served serving papers to people. That is a good idea. Alan sent a fair few, actually. Including something called Listen With Mothers, M-U-T-H-A-S. Alan seems even older than I am. Is that what you prefer to say, Alan? Got some cracking ancient cultural references there that we very much like to hear on the cul-de-sac. Pip Williams says, TV show idea me and the boys Elwin and Sully came up with whilst walking back from school. Rock, Paper, Diggers. It's a cross between Scrap Heap Challenge and Robot Wars. Two kids get to customise those one-person diggers they used to tear up the pavement, put armour on it or go faster stripes or whatever, and then get in them and smash the shite out of each other like Ripley at the end of Aliens. That's excellent. Jack Baxter simply says, picture this, Sean. A Sunday roast around your old girl's house. We've literally just finished Sunday roast. This couldn't be more appropriate timing-wise, Jack. She's made a fresh boat of the brown stuff. We've literally just experienced that. And has handed it over the dining table. Where do you grab it without scalding your hand? It's a shite mare. My idea solves that. Simply put two handles either end of the receptacle and a spout in the middle. Hey presto, you've solved a problem as old as time. The double-handed gravy boat is a brilliant idea. Don't come back at me now and tell me it already exists and it's in the basement of John Lewis, Oxford Street. Just let me and Jack have our moment in the sun. Just let me and Jack have our moment in the sun. So there's some great ones there, I'm sure you'll agree. And a couple more, actually, these are also Alan Greening's ideas, but I think quite strong. I think a couple of ideas for Netflix dramas here. One called Nelson's Golem. Our greatest living naval hero has a golem only he conceives trying to ruin his plans. Each week focuses on a famous victory in a battle, and we see how it's snatched from the jaws of defeat by a series of comical mishaps caused by the manifestation of a golem. Bonus, ties in with Lord of the Rings nerds, possibly an Amazon spin-off. Superb. Very strong. But nothing as good as this. Lovejoy, The Next Generation. This one writes itself, says Alan. Seek funding from the Norfolk Tourist Board. I've got an awful creeping sensation that a lot of you aren't taking this part of the programming as seriously as I would like. However, now you've mentioned it, I'm just beginning to wonder now. Lovejoy, the Next Generation, is that Ian McShane's son in bric-a-brac shops in Norfolk, or is it Ian McShane himself on the deck of the Starship Enterprise or some other spaceship on the other side of the galaxy? Either way, I'm in. Thanks. Real, very healthy crop from Alan there, as far as ridiculous, unmakeable television dramas and comedies. If you've got any ideas, maybe even serious ones, you know, please send them to seanscreativecul-de-sac@gmail.com, and we'll see if we can pop them at the end of the next cul-de-sac podcast. As far as I'm concerned, I'm off downstairs to see if there's any chicken left. I'll dip it in the gravy boat, the one-handled gravy boat, my ad. I'll see you next week for another Sean Keefley's Creative Cul-de-sac.
Cue the music.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.